This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
Welcome to Keeping the Faith. Our guest today is Andre Arrington from the Boys and Girls Club, the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club in Champaign-Urbana. Welcome, Andre.
Thank you, Steve.
And you brought with you three other folks who work there. Why don't you introduce them to our audience?
Yes, we have Ms. Lavette Pillmore. She heads our Stratton School Project, our 21st Century Learning Center program. We have Mr. Anthony Mormon. He heads up our Teen Reach program. And Mr. Steve Davis, which oversees our Park Street unit and also provides oversight for our Lakeside Terrace unit.
And for our program today, we're going to call him Stephen and me Steve, so we won't get confused here in the studio.
Yes.
All right. With the Boys and Girls Club, how long have you been the executive director?
I'm entering into my third year with the Don Moyer organization.
And where were you before coming to Champaign-Urbana?
Previously, I was 5 years in Danville as the executive director there. Before there, I was in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, and Memphis, Tennessee, and Montgomery, Alabama.
With the Boys and Girls Club in each of those places, is that right?
Yes.
And how did you get interested in this organization?
It's a really interesting story. I went to the club as a kid, and when I was in college, said I needed some extra money, like many college students. And a friend of mine said, well, my brother works at the Boys and Girls Club. Can you do that? I was kind of like, yes, that's easy. Huh. And so I go down and play with the kids and and get a paycheck. So
yeah.
The rest is history.
Now, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama.
Okay. And where'd you go to college?
I went to Alabama State University in Montgomery.
Oh. Now, our listeners can't see you, but you're a big guy. You're almost as tall as I am. What are you, 6'6"?
6'5" and shrinking.
And did you play sports when you were in high school, college?
Yes, I played 2 years of college basketball and 4 years of high school.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And how do you relate to these little kids, somebody your size? How do you keep them from being afraid of you?
you kneel, you bend over when you talk to them, but mostly you just try to have fun, crack jokes with them.
Okay.
I let Steve do all the discipline.
So you tease them and play with them.
Yeah, I try to stay out of the day-to-day discipline stuff. So
sure.
Lavette, Steve, and Anthony have all that. Yeah,
sure. Let's move to Steve Davis. You're the director of the Park Street unit. What does that mean?
Well, that means that every program that goes on at the Boys and Girls Club, I oversee that program and make sure we have everyone in place so that that program will run efficiently.
Now, you're a local fellow. You were telling me before I went on the air that you and I went to the same high school, Urbana High School, different times, but the same decade, just barely.
Just barely.
You're younger than I. What have you done since Urbana High?
Well, my story about Urbana High School is, you know, just like every young person, sometimes I didn't do all the things that I needed to do, and I kind of walked in the front door and out the back, and I had a dean of boys that says, Steve, you got a lot of potential, you know, why don't you be the person and rule your own life instead of let other people make decisions for you?
Hmm.
And that made a big difference to me. It made me stop and think about some things. And
who was that dean?
This dean was Taylor Thomas. They just happened to name a subdivision after him in Northeast Champaign.
He was a history teacher when I was in school,
yes,
but 10 years before that.
Yes, he was. And after becoming a history teacher, he became the dean of boys at Urbana High School.
And then he went on to be one of the assistant superintendent of schools.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Wonderful man.
Wonderful man. He just happened to change my life. I looked at going to college, and I didn't think I would be able to be successful, and he inspired me to make some other decisions, and I kept those things that he taught me in mind all for the rest of my life. And he told eventually he helped me go to college, and I asked him how could I ever pay him back, and he said, do for someone else what I'm doing for you.
Uh-huh.
So that kind of put me into working with kids for remainder of my life, which I continue to do.
Where did you go to college?
I went to Eastern Illinois University.
Huh. What'd you major in?
Political science.
And then with a political science degree, you can either become a congressman or look for other work.
Or work for the Boys and Girls Club. I eventually changed. I majored to psychology, and it had a lot to do with children and what I thought I wanted to do with the rest of my life.
Uh-huh. And how long have you been with the Boys and Girls Club?
I've been back in this area for 14 years, and I'd say for those 14 years, at least 12 of those years, I've worked for the Boys and Girls Club.
Uh-huh. Okay. And how long have you been unit director?
At least the last 5-6 years.
Okay. Uh-huh. Well, let's talk to Lavette a minute. Lavette Harmon Pelmore is a teacher, and you're at the Stratton School, is that right?
That's correct.
In Champaign.
Yes.
Stratton is a grade school.
Yes, it is.
And it's a fairly new building.
Yeah.
How long has that building been there?
I think it's been there maybe 6 years.
Okay. And what do you teach?
I teach pre-K.
All right. Before kindergarten, that means, right?
Yes, pre-kindergarten.
And when your position is the 21st Century Learning Center. You're in charge of that. Now, what is that?
Basically, it's an after-school program for the students who attend Stratton School. It's from grades K through 5. We work on homework help. We have some of the same programs that's seen at the Park Street Unit, such as Smart Moves and Club Tech and Project Learn and things like that. It's a free after-school program, so it's a good opportunity for the kids who do attend Stratton School because they never really had an after-school. They've had an after-school program in the past, but the enrollment was low, and this has essentially boosted the enrollment for the kids.
Hmm. And where did you come from? Did you grow up around here?
No, I didn't. I'm from Chicago, Illinois.
From Chicago. I thought I detected a Chicago accent. And so why have you stayed around here?
My husband is from here. Before here, I went to school at Illinois State University where I got my bachelor's and my master's. I got my bachelor's in early childhood education, and I received my master's in special ed education. And, so we lived there for quite a few years, and then we relocated here. My husband's from here.
Now, specializing in early childhood would put you in with a lot of people, but then your master's degree was in what?
Special education.
In special ed. So that really makes you special because people like you who have that specialty are in much demand.
Mm-hmm.
So you could go a lot of places.
Yes,
well, why I could. Why have you chosen this program?
I enjoy working with children. It's something that I've always done. Even as a young child in Chicago, I've always seeked out types of jobs and things that where put me in places to be a role model or a mentor to children. I enjoy mentoring children. I enjoy being mentored too as well. When I was approached about doing this program, and I thought felt it was a great opportunity for me and for kids.
And how long have you been doing it?
I've been teaching for about 7 years, I believe, formally. And I've been working with the 21st Century Learning Center program since the summer.
Okay. Now, Andre, this, as executive director of the Boys and Girls Club, this is one of the programs, the 21st Century Center is one of the Boys and Girls Club programs?
Yes, it is. It's a new initiative. Everyone's familiar with President Bush's No Child Left Behind initiative.
Sure.
And many individuals think that, or a lot of verbiage has been around, it's an unfunded mandate.
Right.
And this is one of the funding opportunities behind this mandate. And Boys and Girls Clubs and a couple of communities have band together to go after a collaborative grant. And we were part of that collaborative grant. And we bring about $150,000 to the Stratton School program annually to underwrite the after-school program, where Ms. Pelmore was speaking about the program had low enrollment. It was just due to the fact that the program cost about $130, I would think, a month.
Mm-hmm.
And now Boys and Girls Club philosophy is to make programs affordable for youth.
Sure.
So there is no membership fee. If there are fees, the fees are very nominal to cover some programmatic costs. So we've seen the program go from 14 kids last year to 115 kids enrollment this year. And we service at least 104 of those kids unduplicated in a given month.
So the need was clearly there. It's just that the folks who needed it couldn't afford the after-school program until this came along.
That's correct. It's affordability, but then it's also the program is fun, it's enriching, and it also has the ingredients that we're all trying to achieve for the Stratton School, and that's to get the school off the watch list, to help kids improve their academics, get assistance with homework, provide them with more cultural experiences, and also to increase family involvement. And Ms. Pelmore is planning a family dinner in February. Could you please highlight that?
Well, we're working on we're calling it a family food night, where we're asking We're going to invite all of our parents, and it's just not for the after-school program because we are in Stratton School, and our kids are a part of Stratton School. This is in conjunction with the school itself. And we're going to have kids sign up and kind of put on a talent show with poetry reading, skits, maybe African dance, or, you know, things that they're interested in doing, and where we're really focusing on talents.
Sure.
And then we're going to have our families come out, and we're going to have a sit-down dinner all together, and the kids will provide the entertainment for that. So we're working, me and a couple of other ladies at the school are working together to find organizations or local corporations and things to help sponsor the food and things like that with us.
When will that be, in February?
I do believe the date is going to be February 9th.
February 9th, all right.
And Steve, this is a, no, we have this common focus throughout all of our clubs. Steve Davis has a program going on at Park Street called Parent Advisory Committee, PAC. One of the things that we're really saying is we provide a service for parents. There's a reason why parents drop their kids off at the Boys and Girls Club. You know, there are a lot of working families, more demand on their time at work. They need the assistance for making sure that their kids' homework is done. But the club has a responsibility also to provide some opportunities for parent involvement. He just had a Christmas party that was tea and cookies and juice for parents to come in to interact with their kids. And that was just the beginning. Next, this next year, 04, that we'll be making a greater push around parent involvement. And Steve, you'll just speak a little bit about the Parent Advisory Committee.
Right now, the parents are meeting every couple of weeks, and we get together with the parents and find out what kind of issues as far as children are concerned are important to them. And we try to utilize the parents to help us implement some of these programs that they want to see with other parents. And that way, the parents are in charge of contacting the parents that come to the club and drop their children off and inviting them to attend our meetings and finding out what activities they'd like to see there that would benefit parents. Again, it gives us a chance to have parents speak to parents so they don't feel like we're pushing them in anything, but trying to give them some information and some help on how to combat everyday problems that they might have at school, at home, and at the club. Because we feel if we're working together, because the children leave home, they go to school, and they come to the club. So all of us need to be in tune with each other to help this child achieve a little better. And by having a parent advisory board, having those parents in our building on a regular basis, I think we get to get a chance to get some of that information to them. And then in return, they get a chance to give that information to our parents, and it makes a whole club or a whole organization run a little better.
Let me take just a moment to introduce our guests again for those listeners who may have just joined us. I'm Steve Shoemaker, the usual host for this Keeping the Faith program on WILL AM 580 each Sunday afternoon. And today we're talking with people from the Girls Boys and Girls Club, the Don Moyer Club here in Champaign-Urbana. We have four of the staff members, and we've been talking with Andre Arrington, who's the executive director, and with Stephen Davis, who's the director of the Park Street Unit. There's also a Lakeside Terrace Boys and Girls Club. And with Lavette Harmon-Pelmore, who is a teacher working with the 21st Century Learning Center at Stratton School, grade school. And the person we've not talked with yet is Anthony Mormon. Anthony, you've been very patient. Thank you very, thank you for that. Now, you're the Teen Reach Coordinator. What does that mean? What's that program?
Actually, that is a program where I am actually involved in bringing in different programs for the teens and also seeing that they're carried out in the manner which will, I want to say, impact their lives. Okay. And also, the biggest thing that I do that I take pride in is actually what I want to say here.
These are teenagers that you work with?
Yes, yes, they're teenagers that I work with. And the biggest thing I do is actually keep track of their academic process at school. And what that involves is me going to the schools and actually getting involved, getting in contact with the teachers and learning their schedules, learning what the kids need help on, and just basically keeping a tab on their academic progress and just making sure that they're doing the things needed to get a higher education.
Now, I happen to know you have a background in athletics. What were you involved in?
Well, actually, I was involved in track and field. I ran my first 2 years of undergrad at Clemson University in South Carolina.
Oh, Clemson. Yeah, great
and
school.
And then transferred back down here to my home state, Illinois, to continue competing for the University of Illinois, where I majored in business administration and sports management.
I see. And what was your specialty in track?
Sprints, 100 and 200.
Oh, really? And how did you do?
Actually, I did very well. I still currently own the state record in the 200 from high school back in 97. And just this past year, I was ranked number one in the world in the indoor 200. So I'm doing pretty well. I'm injured right now, but looking forward to getting back onto the track here in the coming months.
So are you still in school?
Oh, no. Actually, I graduated this past May, and that's actually when my story is kind of similar to Mr. Arrington's. I was just looking for a summer paycheck and end up going into the club and getting a job there and just fell in love with it. So I'm looking to stay.
Now, I never ran track. Well, we were, as a basketball player, we were supposed to stay in shape, but I was terrible at it. And so I never learned how to do what they wanted me to do, which was the high hurdles. But how I know there's a lot of technique involved. Who really taught you to be such a good runner? Did you have good coaches along the way?
Yeah, I would say there's two distinct people I would accredit to my running technique, and that is my coach who actually recruited me to the University of Clemson, who was Ralph White. He was very instrumental in helping me hone my technique and to actually become the athlete I am today. And another person is Aaron Tucker. He's now the assistant track and field coach at the University of Kentucky. He was another person who helped me hone the things that I didn't learn while I was at Clemson. Who helped me bring those things out here at the university. And I'm looking forward to getting back to working with one of those two individuals to hopefully compete in the next 2004 Olympics in Athens, Greece. So
that would be quite an honor. And your specialty would be the 200?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And how's your progress coming on your injury, getting over that?
Well, actually, I just got released from the doctor maybe 2 weeks ago, so I'm looking to get back on the track in the first couple of weeks of the new year.
Mm-hmm. And what did you learn in your track career that's helpful as you teach kids about how to make it academically?
Oh, that you have to be organized, you have to be efficient in everything that you do. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing that I learned was just how to overcome your obstacles, overcome some things that you might not be that great at, you know, to work hard at those things, which you know, some people might not be great at math, but to get great, you need to find and seek help. So those are the things that I learned while running track.
Let me invite listeners to also ask questions. I've enjoyed so far questioning these folks, but this is a live program, and we're happy to have listeners to WILL call in. In Champaign-Urbana, there are several lines that you can reach by dialing 333-9455. That's 333-WILL, the call letters of the station. Folks who are listening outside the Champaign-Urbana area can reach us on a toll-free line, 1-800-222-9455. So outside Champaign-Urbana, please call us at 1-800-222-WILL, and that includes listeners on the Internet anywhere in the continental U.S. I see we do have a caller who wants to join us here. Let's go to line one. You're on Keeping the Faith. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Yes, I have a question and a comment. This is a 67-year-old woman, and I know that, Jan Shepherdson, I know that it's important that no child be left behind. But the other thing I wanted to say is that the family that plays together stays together. We often hear that family that prays together, but I think also the family that plays together stays together. Can your guests comment on that? And I want to say it's a great idea what they're doing, and I'll hang up and listen to your answer. Thank you.
Andre, do you have a response?
Yes, I think the caller is exactly correct. So much has been, use the word blame, has been placed on parents. And we're trying to focus on how can we enhance parents' experience with their kids. And that's why we really focus on these family involvement activities. We really saw that it was a need to say, you know, parents need assistance. That's why they ask for services. And we just wanted to be a small part in that. On January 3rd, we have a 150 tickets provided by First Federal Bank. We're taking kids and their parents to a basketball game, University of Illinois basketball game. I think they play Illinois State that day.
Great.
We've had opportunity for parents to go to Green Eggs and Ham Symphony performance.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. These are opportunities that when we get these tickets and donors and sponsors think of the Boys and Girls Club, we're thinking about saying, how can we afford an opportunity for a family outing?
Sure.
And so far, it's been very beneficial to provide these outlets because in the hustle and bustle of a day, I mean, I come from a single-parent home. You know, when the mother or the father is just thinking about how they can put food on the table, paying the bills, you know, sometimes that fun gets a little lost.
Sure.
And so Boys and Girls Club has an opportunity to provide some of those outlets. And we have tremendous parents in this community, but everyone needs a little assistance, and no man is an island. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's our philosophy, and that's the philosophy of this administration and our board of directors is saying, how can we assist families to be better families and a more holistic unit?
Now, our conversation today with folks here from the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club is part of a series we've been having on this program that deals with the power of prevention. We're looking at some of the agencies, social agencies in this community and other communities that are trying to find ways so that young people grow up to avoid problems with the law, problems with their economic life. How does the Boys and Girls Club do this? How are you helping these kids do well in school, stay out of trouble, stay away from drugs, stay out of jail?
Yeah, we do it not alone.
Sure.
Let me first say that under our roof is, and all of our collaborations, is a multitude of partnerships. We have partnerships with America Reads, America Counts. They are tutors at all of our facilities. We have a partnership with Boy Scouts. We have Boy Scout programs. We have partnerships with Girl Scouts. We have Girl Scout programs at our facilities. And then the financial partners, people that underwrite various activities for the clubs. So whether that's donation of tickets or that's actual financial contributions. We partner with First String on Little League baseball programs and basketball programs. So the first and foremost, you know, the club is, we look at it as we're a link to other services. There's mm-hmm. no way that we can afford all of the services. One other initiative that we're looking at kicking off in the fall is a wellness program. Many of our kids, if you say slow learners or whatever titles may be placed upon them, we found out some kids need reading glasses, some kids need hearing tests, some kids need more assistance with studying. We're partnering with a consortium of health providers to assess kids in this area, in these areas. So we're hoping that we're finding some assistance in these areas that would also impact their academics to make them better learners, more confident about their learning style. So there's an array of partnerships, and if Levette, Steve, Anthony, if you all want to chime in on some other ones.
Why don't we go to Levette at this point as a teacher? How do you see the programs that you're dealing with at Stratton School helping kids stay out of trouble?
Well, first off, it gives them some place to go. It's a free program, so they can come right after school. They get a snack, and then we break out into different sessions. I interact with teachers on a daily basis, and I see all of their teachers every day. So, therefore, if a teacher's having problems with a certain child turning in homework or a certain child is having issues in class and things like that, they'll let me know. I'll talk to the child. I'll talk to the leaders of that child, and you know, we make sure that child homeworks get done, that it gets turned in, and eventually you know, some kids, they get efficient on their own and they don't need us to check up on them and, you know, babysit them in that sense. And it gives them a sense of accomplishment and things that they can go on and do other things that other programs that we offer because, you know, the homework is done. We get spelling words and things like that. So we have mock spelling tests for kids, for our younger kids. And we have books that they can read and magazines and things. So if they don't have homework, we're providing other opportunities for them to learn. They get to use our high-tech computer lab and go online and, you know, use search engines and create PowerPoint presentations and things like that. So, I mean, we focus on homework and education and, you know, doing good in school, but we also want to focus on some of the things that they're interested in and give them an opportunity to express their own natural interests and talents.
Now, kids have been in school for how many hours by the time you get them?
A very long time. Right. Stratton is an extended day school as well. So our kids start school at 8 o'clock, and they don't get out of school until 3:30.
And then they come to your program.
And then they come to our program where we have homework hour and or, you know, 30 minutes for the younger kids and things like that. So that's been a struggle in a sense because they're in school and they have all these other expectations placed on them. So it's been a programming issue for me to figure out how can I get my fourth and fifth graders to do homework without stressing them out about homework and things like that. So it's a daily change.
And I know from meeting with three fourth grade young boys each week for half an hour that these kids that age have so much energy and their attention span is a little shorter than mine.
Correct.
And how many adults do you have working with how many kids? How many kids are in the program? You said 115, I think.
Yes. We see on a daily basis between 65 to 80 kids.
Okay.
Each group has at least two leaders, and then there's at least one or two more volunteers provided by America Reads.
And how many in a group? How many kids in a group?
No more than 20.
Okay. And how do you give them a break from just the pressure they've been under and the, you know, the supervision? And, I mean, do you let them just run crazy for a while before you try to organize them? Or how do you do it? How do you
do that? Well, the first thing we do is feed them.
Okay, good. Yeah.
So as soon as they come down, they get a snack immediately. Uh-huh. And then different groups do different things. And that's because, you know, throughout the building, we are a building. And our building has other partnerships with the park district and things like that. Mm-hmm. So, our older kids go right to the gym first, and we just let them go and get some energy out.
Great.
And then they come back and do their homework. And the younger kids who don't have very much homework, they're down in the pre-kindergarten classrooms, our kindergarten and first graders, so they get to use the learning centers and building blocks and things like that. And then the second and third graders do homework for 30 minutes first, and then they get to go to the gym.
Now, Anthony Mormon, as a track star, do kids look up to you as an athlete, as a college athlete?
To be honest with you, I really don't know how many kids know that fact.
Okay, so you don't advertise that.
No, I try to keep that under wraps. Not just because I'm afraid to tell them, but just because I'd like to focus more on them rather than myself.
Okay, and it's not realistic for most young people to become professional athletes either, is it? Because very few people make that level. Very few people can perform at the college level anywhere near where you're able to do. So realistically, it doesn't really help kids, to sort of focus on, hey, I'm going to be a star athlete in college, because very few make it.
Yes and no to that question. Yes to that question, just because that's the nature of the beast, and all people aren't born with different talents and things, but I say no to that because putting in hard work, you can pretty much do what you want to do. So I've seen a lot of athletes throughout my years that weren't so much as talented as I may have been, maybe do things that I haven't done yet, just
really?
Because they might have something that I don't have, like that work ethic.
Oh, interesting.
You know, so I think it's that's a yes and no.
Okay. And Steve Davis, you were nodding as Anthony was answering that. What was your comment?
Well, my thought is I think Anthony's a good role model, and he's developing good relationships with our children. And the only way I think our children can get in tune with some of the things that he's doing or he plans to do is kind of listen to his story. And we're a youth development agency. We hope to develop leaders. We work on those kind of things with kids and children every day. And Anthony plays an important part by going to the schools and talking with the teachers. So when our older gentlemen come in who want to play basketball, Anthony's able to say to them, excuse me, I talked to your teacher and I know you have homework today. Uh-huh. So I think that's letting them know that he cares about academically how they're doing and their well-being and their mental state of how they're going to handle the challenge. If you want to be a professional athlete, you do have to accept a scholarship and be able to achieve that goal by being academically eligible to accept that scholarship. So we work hard with our young men and young ladies in those areas to get them prepared for that. Hopefully, even if they don't make it, they'll have a good solid background and something as far as a career to fall back on.
Let me take just a moment here. We're about halfway through our Keeping the Faith program this Sunday afternoon, and we've been talking with folks from the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club that services people throughout Champaign County, Andre Arrington, who's the executive director, and Levette Harmon-Pelmore, who's a teacher in an after-school program at Stratton School, and a specialist in special education, with Anthony Moorman, who's the Teen Reach Coordinator, and with Stephen Davis, who is the director of the Park Street unit. There's also a Lakeside Terrace unit of the Boys and Girls Club. We'll be getting back to them in a moment, but let me let listeners know a little bit about who's coming up on future Keeping the Faith programs. Next week, the Sunday after the Christmas holiday that Christians are celebrating, we'll be talking, we'll be playing an archive program from earlier this year with Professor Margaret Mitchell from the University of Chicago about recent research on the historical Jesus. So that'll be on December 28th from 5 to 6 here on Keeping the Faith. Coming up in January, a couple of our guests will be Mike Mulberry, who is the new pastor at the Community United Church of Christ in Champaign, one of the oldest campus ministries and campus churches at the University of Illinois. In fact, the planning for the university itself happened at that congregational church probably 175 years ago or so. And then on later in January, Wade Hampton will be our guest from the Champaign County YMCA. Those are some of the folks coming up here on Keeping the Faith in the month ahead. These programs are provided in part by the sponsorship of the University YMCA at the University of Illinois, where I'm the executive director. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for this program. The Y on campus is the oldest religious institution at the university. For the last 130 years, the University Y has been helping develop student ethics and values and leadership abilities by providing opportunities for community service and social action. One of our programs, for example, Vis-a-Vis, puts over 250 students each year, college students at the university, into the local schools and grade schools and middle schools and high schools, helping providing one-on-one tutoring and teachers' aides, helping in the educational process of young people. That's just one of the many programs at the University Y that we're very proud of. The University Y is a non-profit charitable institution, and we survive. We don't get any money from the university budget or from the government. We're a non-profit charity. And one of the ways we survive is by accepting donations of automobiles and pickup trucks and vans and SUVs. And if any of you would like to make a donation to the Y, please call us during business hours, 337-1500. And one of our listeners previously has donated a 1996 Plymouth Grand Voyager. One owner, 72,000 miles. If you'd like more information about it, please give us a call Monday or Tuesday, 337-1500. People who donate a car to the Y, of course, can take a tax deduction, not have to hassle with a trade-in or selling the car themselves. And the car may end up in the hands of a appreciative owner, perhaps a graduate student or someone in the community. On WILL later this week, this is the Hanukkah season, and our Jewish listeners are celebrating that nice family time in Jewish homes, lighting candles in the evening. Some of the programs on WILL this week may be appreciated by them and by the Christian listeners who are celebrating Christmas. Let's see, on Wednesday the 24th, Professor of History at the University of Minnesota will be talking about celebrating America's greatest holiday, Merry Christmas. That's Professor Carol Ann Marling at 1 o'clock on the Afternoon Magazine here on AM 580. Dylan Thomas will be reading A Child's Christmas in Wales at 2:40 that same afternoon, Wednesday the 24th, Christmas Eve. On Christmas Day, the 25th, Thursday, at 12 noon, there'll be a reading of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol by Professor Landis. 1 o'clock, Gene Redpath Holiday Concert. And then at 3 o'clock, something rather amusing, Jonathan Winter's Christmas Carol. Some of the programs coming up here on WILL, AM 580 this week. Well, let's get back to our guest today. We're very happy to have folks from the Don Moyers Boys and Girls Club. Andre, let me get back to you just for a moment.
Yes.
In terms of funding for the Boys and Girls Club, how do you survive financially in these difficult times for charities?
It is a task because we are not we do not have program fees that amount to substantial dollars for our budget.
You're dealing with poor families, poor kids.
Yes. We rely a lot on government funding, which is over probably 50% of our budget.
And there have been cuts there, too, of course,
absolutely,
nationally.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we rely on benevolent giving from the community, fundraisers, and United Way, and both municipalities, City of Urbana, Champaign, and the county. Mm-hmm. Champaign County also provides substantial funding to our organization.
And for listeners who in this holiday season might want to make a contribution to the Boys and Girls Club, how can they do that?
They can forward contributions to 201 East Park Street, Champaign, Illinois, 61820.
That's 201 East Park Street in Champaign, 61820. And just make a check to Don Moyer, which is spelled M-O-D-O-N, first name, and then Moyer, M-O-Y-E-R, Boys and Girls Club or B&G Club.
Yes.
And who was Don Moyer?
Mr. Moyer was a civic leader in the community that was one of the founding members of the organization.
Hmm.
He was very instrumental in a lot of things. As I was told, before there was a full-time paid position in the Human Rights Division of Champaign, Mr. Moyer was the volunteer person and opened a lot of doors for a lot of minorities in the community. He was just a drum major out in the forefront trying to provide opportunities for people that may not have had opportunities. And his son is now very active on our board, Don Moyer Jr. And just a tremendous family. I think Don told me their family goes long-term families in Champaign County.
In this area, yes.
Yes. And just tremendous people that give up both their time and of their energy to help the community.
Mm-hmm.
And not just our entity, but other entities within the community.
Now, the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club on Park Street has a fairly new addition to it. When was that put on?
Probably around 1995, 1996.
Okay.
The new addition. We have added probably about 10,000 square feet of additional space.
Okay.
And the gymnasium now is where the old club was, which was an old church on the the north end of town.
Uh-huh. Now, tell us a little bit about your population. How many kids are involved in the various programs? You've got these two centers, one in Urbana, one in Champaign. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about what actually goes on.
At Parkster Young, it serves about 1,100 kids annually. You have your peak programs of after school and summer. In the summertime, we get a lot of kids that visit aunts, uncles, grandmothers, great-grands, and because the parents, the adults, or the guardians, kids went to the Boys and Girls Club, they send their nieces, nephews, sure. grandchildren to the Boys and Girls Club. And then you have the kids that parents either went to the club. We have a lot of kids that I meet parents say, hey, you know, I came to the club or I volunteered here when I was in college. And their kids come. And then we have parents that need the service, have an affordable after-school program, someone that's helping their kids with homework, character development, leadership skills. We service at Park Street about 110 kids a day. At Lakeside Terrace, we service about 40 kids with an enrollment of about 200 kids, primarily mostly residents of the Lakeside Terrace community. Then the Stratton School Program has about 115 kids enrolled in the program. On a given day, we see anywhere from 70 to 80 of those kids. Mm-hmm. That program is, once again, to help kids, help the school to come off the state watch list.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. Let me ask Stephen Davis again, as a local boy growing up here and now an adult in the community, what changes have you seen for what kind of pressure kids are under these days who are growing up in Champaign-Urbana in the early years of this century as opposed to when you were in grade school and junior high and high school back in the 50s and 60s?
Well, one of the biggest changes, I think, is the children have somewhere to go these days. It's back when I was a young person, Douglas Center was available. And if you lived in Urbana, it may have been far from where you were. When they developed the Boys and Girls Club, it's kind of medium in between both cities. So it was okay if you walked to the Boys and Girls Club. Mm-hmm. And I think the key to all of that is the kids these days have a lot of different opportunities and a lot of different things to do. It keeps them away from being involved in gang involvement, vandalism. It keeps them off the streets. Parents are very confident that their children are receiving some good mentoring, good educational skills, because we pick our children up from school. So I think parents feel really safe that they're able to be picked up from school and taken to a safe place rather than have to walk home or worry about catching a city bus. I think this alleviates a lot of problems for our parents, and I think it gives our kids a better opportunity at survival.
One of the things that youth gangs provides young people is a sense of belonging, a sense of identity, a sense of importance. How did the Boys and Girls Club compete with that?
Well, the way we compete with that is we offer kids a sense of belonging. If you walk in our building and you look straight up at the ceiling, you'll see all our kids' work. Mm-hmm. And the reason you see that work is because we want people that come in to know that this does not belong to Steve Davis. This does not belong to Andre Arrington. This belongs to the children that come to that building. And you get some children that want to come in. They really got a lot of active behaviors. They jump up and want to touch towels. Our kids are quick to say, don't do that. Mm-hmm. That belongs to me. That's mm-hmm. my drawing. Mm-hmm. And they're very proud of it. So our building remains in good shape due to some of those things that our children tell other children that would happen to want to vandalize something.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Lavette? Do you see much attraction of young kids to gangs at the age you're working with, or are the grade school kids fairly set apart from that?
I don't think anyone is really set apart from being attracted to gangs or anything on the street that's being publicized through television, radio, music. I think that our kids are influenced by wanting to belong to something, wanting to be a part of something important or what they see as important, wanting to fit in with what the latest rapper or the latest singer is doing, or want to dress like the latest video and things like that. So I don't think anyone has a shield from that. we try to emphasize the importance of being who you are and what you are, and it's okay to be you, it's okay to be different, and it's okay to belong to, you know, something that has values, you know, something that's being respectful of other people. You know, we really push being respectful of yourself, being respectful of others. So I think by pushing some of those values and some of those, doing some character building and things like that, our kids do get a sense of belonging, you know, when they come to the after school program, and, you know, a sense of competence, a sense of I can and I will and mm-hmm. I do.
Mm-hmm. Steve, what they're speaking of is what we have coined in Boys and Girls Club called the Youth Development Strategy.
Okay.
And that is a sense of belonging, usefulness, competence, and empowering influence. These are critical elements of building self-esteem. As you and I know, when we go through school, we talk about self-esteem, but we never really quite engage self-esteem to these elements. And this is when I started working with Boys and Girls Club, because I was a social worker and major. It was like they had the cornerstone on knowing what really were the building blocks for building quality people. Hmm. And these are, if you think about this with our employees, adults, wherever we go, these are essential building blocks to make people feel good about themselves and to be to have that self-esteem.
Repeat them for me again.
Belonging, sense of belonging, sense of usefulness, sense of competence, and influence.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And so it could be from answering the telephone in the late evening, you know, a kid develops that sense of empowerment, to a kid that had never really felt accomplished in anything, but can go in the arts and craft room and display their talent.
Discover they have some abilities.
Exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh. And so that's the uniqueness about Boys and Girls Club. It's not a niche program. We have to have diversified opportunities for these kids to explore their talents. And what we like to do is, you know, to tell them, hey, we're more than swim and gym. We have technology. I mean, some of our kids really get into the technology. We have one young man, Martez, that always been a good kid, but one of the staff members made him the lab monitor.
Huh.
And his chest just,
computer lab.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And you do not go into the computer lab unless you get past Martez.
Uh-huh.
He has embraced this responsibility. And, you know, he has a renewed sense of confidence.
Uh-huh.
Because he was the kind of kid that was not in the in crowd. He's not an athlete.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't have the imposing physical structure.
Sure.
But now he is far more confident.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has a little swagger when he mm-hmm. comes into my office. Mm-hmm. You know, he is somebody. He has a responsibility. And I think mm-hmm. that as adults and as Americans, that's, you know, that's the beauty of America. That's the essence of America, is that everybody has an opportunity to achieve. And so we're just trying to start at the most simple elements within our clubhouse, within our community, and we will see the fruits as these people go on to be positive adults in our community or throughout our nation. So,
let me repeat the phone numbers for listeners who may have a question for our guest today on Keeping the Faith. Anywhere the program is heard, you may call us toll-free 1-800-222-9455. We accept calls by cell phone, and people who are listening on the internet are free to call anywhere in the continental U.S. to that number, 1-800-222-9455, a free call. In Champaign-Urbana, we have several lines that are available through dialing the local number, 333-9455. So even if you hear someone on the local number, you may call and be next in line, 333-WILL. Anthony, let me ask you the same question that we've been discussing here the last minute or two. In terms of you work with perhaps the hardest population, with teens, of kids who are tempted to get into trouble, to get involved with perhaps illegal activities, drugs, other things. What do you do to make learning exciting, to make the possibility of going on to college exciting like you've done, for kids who are faced with those kind of temptations?
Some things that we do, we try to implement programs that are built upon the kids being able to express themselves, and that brings me up to think about two programs that we are actually doing right now, or putting out right now, and that is one program called Expressions. And it mainly involves the teens, and what that is on Wednesday nights they come in and they just to get to sit down and just talk about everyday, just life things, uh-huh. and basically express themselves, and then they get to prepare different sorts of meals, you know, different, you know, they might go home and read about something, and they might want to try that out. So we allow them and give them the opportunity to come to the club and do those things along with sitting down, learning, just listening to older people who've been around, who've been through different situations, and that can probably give them a little bit of enlightenment on certain things they might be going through in their lives. Another program that we put on is a program we call The Fifth Quarter, and that's for men and women, but mostly the younger gentlemen in our club participate in that. And what that is, it's basically somewhat of an open gym league with a little twist on there, an educational twist on it, where the kids actually come in on the Wednesdays and take tests, and it's also have a component called with teamwork, and you combine the points of all the team members. So if the team members, if there's 8 team members and they all score 10 points on the quiz, they start off on the scoreboard with 80 points, to oppose to the other team who may only score 40 points between 8 of their teammates. And then what they do at the end of their hour and a half in the gym, they come together with the Expressions group, and basically we just open up the floor to any type of questions and any type of concerns that they have.
Hmm. Now, you majored in sports management, but also in business.
Yes.
At the University of Illinois. So you have a degree from last May, from a major state university with an international reputation. You're a young African-American man who could have gone into business and be making a whole lot of money this year. Why did you choose to work for the Boys and Girls Club?
Like I said, this summer, it really did it for me. Just to see the kids just light up when I come into the door. Hmm. And another thing is, you know, they say you want to go to a job that you can appreciate when you wake up. And, and I can honestly say that I enjoy getting up and coming to work and see what type of positive effect I can have on the kids. Uh-huh. So that's why I'm here.
And are you going to be able to prepare for the Olympics and your track specialty as well, continue this, or are you going to have to choose one or the other?
No. I can find time to do both. If I have to bring it to work, I have to bring it to work. So.
And what's the ring you're wearing?
The ring I'm wearing is actually it's from Clemson University. It's an indoor conference title ring. I just like to wear it to remind me of the hard work that I put in while I was there, and just one of the many things that I accomplished while I was there. Mm-hmm.
Andre, how many other college students, Anthony Mormon has been involved from when he was in college, how many other college students help out at the Boys and Girls Club?
Probably over 50% of our staff, maybe 60% of our staff is college students.
Who are doing this part-time as part-time volunteers
workers,
or
yes.
paid? Or
Both.
Both, okay.
Yes. So, they're the bulk of our personnel.
And how do you find them?
Wow. Advertising through campus publications. The internet has been extremely helpful putting things out on the web.
You have a website?
We do.
Tell us the address.
It's www.dmbgc-cu.org. D as in Don, M as in Warrior, B as in Boys, G as in Girls, C as in Club, dash as Champaign, Urbana. And so
let me just repeat that. That's 3W.D as in Don, dmbgc-cu.org.
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct.
So people can find your website. And students who'd like to volunteer may check out your website and get phone numbers and contact information. But for those who are listening, what phone number can they call?
355-5437.
Okay, 355-5437 in Champaign. That's area code 217.
Yes.
And so students and others, I take it, who would like to volunteer or learn more information about the Don Moyers Boys and Girls Club may call that number.
Yes.
And I know some students may be driving home today, having finished exams yesterday and heading home for the holidays or off for almost a month. But if you'd like, when you come back or while you're away, check out the website, give them a call to volunteer. What do some of these volunteers do, college students and others? We're down just the last couple minutes, but what are some of the things that the volunteers do? We've talked about the staff.
Yes, the volunteers complement the staff. I mean, they're right there taking care of day-to-day responsibilities from passing out snacks to facilitating arts and craft programs, to facilitating recreation programs, to helping kids with homework, to just being hall monitors, to being playing with the kids in the games room. I mean, our volunteers do everything, going on field trips, being chaperones, and we're also working on a mentoring program with the Urban Exchange Center. So we're looking forward to that coming up in this fall.
And how ethnically diverse are your volunteers?
We are very diverse in our volunteers from all nationalities and ethnic backgrounds.
And do you have students from other countries?
Yes, we have. From Asia, Israel. I mean, we just have a very diverse population of individuals that come to service our organization.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with four folks from the Boys and Girls Club in Champaign-Urbana, the Don Moyers Boys and Girls Club, Andre Arrington, who's the executive director, and Lavette Harmon Pelmore, who's a teacher in the 21st Century Learning Center at Stratton Grade School in Champaign, with Anthony Moorman, and I might spell his last name, M-O-O-R-M-A-N, who's the Teen Reach Coordinator and who we're going to watch as we look towards the Olympics next. When is that? In 2004?
Summer of 2004.
2004 in Athens, Greece. Stephen Davis, a native of Champaign-Urbana, who's the director of the Park Street Unit. We want to thank them for having been on our program today. We've enjoyed learning more about the Boys and Girls Club. And let me repeat just some of the information that they've shared. The Park Street Unit is located at 201 East Park Street in Champaign. And folks who'd like to make a donation may write a check to the Don Moyer B&G Club, Boys and Girls Club. Send it to 201 East Park Street in Champaign, 61820. For information, you may check out their website, which is www.dmbgc-cu. That stands, of course, for Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club in Champaign-Urbana. That's dmbgc-cu.org. Or may call 355-5437 during business hours. You are going to be closed Christmas Day and the day after Christmas Day?
Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and the 26th.
Very good. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs. Next week, I'll be taking a little time off, and we'll be playing an archive program from last summer where the guest was Professor Margaret Mitchell of the University of Chicago. She's a New Testament scholar, and we'll be hearing an interview about the recent research on the historical Jesus. That's next Sunday here on Keeping the Faith on AM 580 WILL. The week following, we'll be talking with Mike Mulberry, new pastor at Community United Church of Christ. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Keeping the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: EAGCO Incorporated, Fairmont; Thrifty Nickel, Champaign; and GCOM Incorporated in Savoy. These business partners join the friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
This may be the century when Americans forget how to cook. We're too busy and takeout's too easy, and who needs to cook when you can buy dinner at the supermarket? I'm Jim Fleming. Next time on To the Best of Our Knowledge, the profound implications of the decline and fall of chicken soup, meatloaf, and homemade mac and cheese. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Today at 7 on AM 580 WILL Urbana.
Tonight in Champaign-Urbana, becoming mostly cloudy, the low in the mid-30s with southwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tomorrow, cloudy with a chance of light rain, the high in the upper 40s with southwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a good chance of rain, the low in the mid-30s with northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour.
You're listening to WILL Urbana, made possible by the support of our listeners, the friends of WILL. It's 6 p.m. Central Time. This American Life is next.